Blog Talk Radio.
What's going on, everybody? This is Easy, most known unknown Easy Old Soul, checking in with you guys one more again. I have a special guest who I'm about to bring on in just a second to talk about the importance of accounting, money management, and budgeting in life. And give me one quick second to bring on. Hello?
Hi.
Hello.
Hi.
Hey, how are we?
I'm wonderful.
Yeah,
how are you?
Can you hear me?
I can hear you.
I'm
can
good.
You hear me? Okay, good.
Yeah. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
For those of you guys that don't know, this is one of my cousins, one of my family members from the Dismuke side of my family, Miss Naisha Dismuke. Very important person in my life. She's known me since I was a kid. She's probably took care of me a couple of times, which is always appreciated. And she's seen me grow as a person. She's also helped me out a lot in school. Just so many different things I can say about this cousin. You know, not the only cousin, but one of the ones that's been around me for a very long time. And you know, I'm going to let her have the floor and tell you a little bit about herself before we get into what we're going to get into today.
Hi, how are you?
How are we doing?
Thank you, Cousin Ernest, for having me on your show. I'm very excited to be one of your first important guests of greatness, because this is going to go far.
Oh, yeah.
So, I guess the first question that you would have for me is, what was the reason I got into my degree, which my degree is accounting. So I have my associate's, my bachelor's, and my master's in accounting, and I have 2.5 years worth of my PhD in organization and management.
Okay.
The reason why I chose to did you want to ask me a question?
I was going to ask you exactly that, what made you want to get into that.
The reason why I wanted to get into it, because I absolutely love numbers, but there is a big difference between accounting and financing. Financing is more number side. Accounting is more accounts and transactions. It still involves a lot of numbers, but financing goes all the way up to derivatives and things of that nature, where it gets really deep. So for a person that doesn't really like math, they may get very frustrated. But for a person that enjoys it, they will absolutely love it. I wish that I would have gotten a double major in accounting and financing instead of just accounting.
Okay. And for those of you that don't know about me, I actually took accounting this past semester. It didn't go great. I think I'm one of those people that have problems with the whole derivative thing. And also, I had issues with to balance the budget a lot. And it was really confusing. I think maybe I didn't spend enough time on it. I think you got to have a clear head when you do it, for me personally, because I love math, but I'm not always a fan of it when I can't get it from my personal perspective. But I know cousin, she loves numbers, and she was always great at math. So I feel like this is definitely a field that is worth it, worth the time, worth putting your time into. Very strong feel. How long did it take for your degrees to come about?
My associate's degree, I went to a private college, McCormick Junior College downtown. It was on Wabash. I'm sure it moved by now. That took me 2 years. My bachelor's I got from DePaul University. That took me, I want to say, about 18 months. And then my master's, I got that from Governor State University. That took me 12 months to get.
Okay.
It took me 12 months.
Any trials and tribulations with that? Because I know it can be hard for me.
Yeah. I always tell people when they're going to school to a university or a college, a lot of people get upset because they know I want to be an architect, I want to be an engineer, why can't I just take those type of classes? Well, they have electives and they have other classes that to you may think don't mean anything. But the university wants someone that is well-rounded. Once you get a job, they want a person that's well-rounded, that has psychology classes. You may think that it's, like, unimportant, but it really is. They want someone that's well-rounded, knows how to touch bases on multiple things, not just in accounting or engineering or architecture. They want you to be able to manage and do other things as well besides just accounting. Well, yeah, you have a lot of trials and tribulations. I'm going to be honest, as much as I like math, the only class that ever gave me a problem was statistics. And you have to take statistics in universities and your colleges at just about your main levels. For bachelor's, you have to take at least one class, and a lot of people have a problem with it. And if I could be transparent, when I was getting my master's, I had a statistics class, and the teacher had us buy this book that was like $300. And I promise you, I thought the book was speaking German because I didn't know anything that was in there. And I know that I know my stuff, and I was like, oh, man. And he gave us the first test, and I failed the test. And I went back to the man. I said, look, I am not a quitter. I'm not a failure. You know, all that I do is succeed. And he was like, I like that in you. And he gave us a take-home quiz after that, and I passed that. And that class started out with 36 people. It ended up with five of us. It was over. And what was funny is that we learned, and a lot of that stuff was hard, but we all end up getting A's. He enjoyed the fact that we practiced and we came to him off of school time to get help and to actually learn. And he said that he does it to see who's going to stick it out. I always tell people, you're going to have trials and tribulations no matter what subject you take. Your life is built on trials and tribulations, but it does nothing but help you become a better person. And it's not just for you. It's for somebody after you, somebody else that you're going to come encounter with that you can help them. And you're going to be like, oh, what I'm learning this for, I'm never going to use it. And then later on, somebody's going to ask you a question about it. And there comes that time when you have to.
I think there was a couple of times in life where I thought I would never really use math and stuff like that, and I always told myself this is kind of silly because, I just didn't feel like it was important. Although I loved math, I didn't feel like it was something that I was going to have to use. And then I learned that math is all around us. We use math all the time. We add numbers all the time. We exchange your money, that's math. Everything you do is dang near math. So I learned a lot from being like reaching like pre-calculus level and stuff like that, which was very, very distinctive challenge for me. It was very hard. For me, I think I did the same thing, not as far as like a group. I took pre-calculus once. And I failed it. I failed it terribly. But I was not focused. That was the thing that I would say the most. I was not focused at all. And so I took the F and went along about my business. The second time I took it, I happened to find a friend who I took math with before. She was very intelligent, and she was helping tutor me the second time. And the second time I passed with an A. So it's all about the time that you put in, but you also got to have the understanding. And I suggest this, like I think anybody would, find a person that can definitely help teach you, or put it into simpler terms if that's the issue for you. I always wanted to know, is accounting as hard as it looks, or, you know, as people talk about it? Because I've talked to a couple of people, and I know they always tell me that accounting can be very difficult.
Yeah, I agree.
Would you say, is there ways and
I guess certain resources we can get to or look forward to trying out to learn about accounting?
Yes, I would definitely say if that's something that you want to do, you don't understand, look for a tutor. Or do the basics. You can always do research. The internet, I don't say that everything on the internet is true, but I always like the library. I don't know about people, they probably think that's ancient, but I like the library. They always have books that you can check out and you can learn, you know, your resources and knowledge. And they have Accounting for Dummies, which is a yellow and black book that's everything for dummies, where it's more like a cliff note of what you need to learn if you're going to have your own business. Because a lot of people have programs, which is fine. They have a lot of accounting programs, which helps you do the work easier. But I always tell people, when you want to learn something, you want to learn hands-on. You want to learn it from scratch. It's like making dressing or cornbread from scratch. You don't always want to use Jiffy Mix. You want to learn how to do something from scratch. Just let your computer break down and you have to do somebody's tax return or something from hand, you know what you're doing.
Right.
And so you're dependent upon that system. I definitely say if you like that, to find a program for it. It's a million and one programs. But if you don't know anything, I always say go with the basic. Don't get anything that's for expert level because you're not an expert or advanced person. You need beginners. Like Mavis Geeky, that's a beginner for typers. You need that. If you're trying to learn how to do accounting, you need a Mavis Beacon app for accounting.
And I think people forget about that. Like, I haven't heard Mavis Beacon in a long time. I think I was starting to hear about it when I was going into computer science. I heard people touch on it, and then I also heard people touch on it in the 2011 when I was doing taxes. Like, it was something very popular, but I haven't heard it in a very long time. Would you be able to explain a little bit about that one?
About the taxes?
Yeah.
Yeah, a lot of people pay others to do their taxes, I think, because they don't want to do them, which is understandable. But a lot of it is self-explanatory. And then they have books and stuff for you to understand certain things just in case if you don't know. So let's just say for your instance, you don't have any children currently. So they have different forms, which is a 1040, a 1048, and a 1040 EZ. You could do a 1040 EZ all because you don't have any children. And it's a much shorter form than the 1040. And the 1040A is a shorter form than the 1040 because you do have children, but you're using standardized itemization when you're doing your taxes, so you're going to take the standardized amount. Now, the 1040, that's when people are going to itemize things, like you got a house, you got a business, you're trying to write things off, you've done charity, you've given out paid your tithes. When inside your house, you're getting energy efficient things that you can write off. Inside your businesses, you're building, you're a landlord. Say you use your car as part of your job, you have advertising on the car. Like a lot of people don't know, when you have a business, if you're doing a business inside your home, part of your home can be written off as a tax write off because part of it is a business. That's why people always say, this is my business unit. So say you get a 3-bedroom apartment, your 3rd bedroom, where you can make a part of a basement, that's your business area, you technically can write it off. So that's when you're itemizing is when you want to do a 1040, a regular 1040. But for you, like, you're going to do standard. You're going to do a 1040 EZ because you don't have any children. Once you do a 1040A, that's because you have a kid, but you're not really itemized. You're using the standardized amount that they're going to give you back for the taxes that you paid, your standard deductible.
Okay.
So that's fine. But I tell a lot of people, try your best to be as legit as possible because there's a lot of people that hit that red flag or cross that line, and the IRS can audit you, and not just for that year.
Mm-hmm.
The IRS can go back, they can go back 7 years into your life and audit your taxes for 7 years.
I think that's one of the most scariest things. that I know of. That's the one thing I worry about when I start a business. If I want to start a business, is dealing with people like the IRS is kind of scary. Mm-hmm. So, be honest. And also, I wanted to say, she's currently helping me put this radio talk show into becoming its own business. And I wanted to say I've been researching, looking up different, like the LLC and corporation and mm-hmm. what makes it. And I did not know all the stuff that I would run into. Most people have told me, you know, you just go get a EIN number and, you know, you'll be good. You mm-hmm. have a business after that. Mm-hmm. And then I checked today.
Right.
Yeah, I checked today, and from what I read, that's not just it. That's not the only thing that you have to do to start your own business. Yeah, it'll give you know, the right to have employees and stuff like that, but you haven't actually started your business yet. And I didn't know that. I thought you just needed the number and you'd be good. You know, now the business is off the ground. No, you have fees from Illinois and stuff like that that you would have to take care of for you to become a legitimate business. So, yes, you might have an EIN number, and that is all well and good, but you are not officially in business until you pay those fees. And I did not know that. It's just it's something that shocked me and surprised me, because I think sometimes we feel like, oh, it's just going to be this easy, and it's not.
And to be honest, it can be somewhat that easy. Like, they have a lot of free seminars mm-hmm. about starting your own business that you can just research mm-hmm. to try to find out. They got places at the library. I tell them all the time they're doing different things. They have court buildings that they have lawyers that help you put certain paperwork together where you want to make sure you're mm-hmm. doing it right. Like, when you're doing your taxes and tax time, you don't know what you're doing. They have people at the courthouse literally set aside just to make sure that you're doing your taxes right.
Mm-hmm.
You know, when you go to H&R Block and other people, they're going through a check balancing system as well, but you're doing that just to make sure. And they have a lot of resources. It just takes your time to research, and not just online. The newspaper has a lot of information, but people are so used to being the tech savvy and using the internet that they only look at that. But if you actually get you a newspaper, you can see the upcoming events and things that people are just doing for free. Like, for instance, a few months back, in the top of January, I want to say, or February, I want to say, I'm trying to think. I went to a money management conference that Push Coalition was giving, the Rainbow Push Coalition was giving off of 55th. And they provided everything was, you didn't even have to pay to get in. Like, you can go on Eventbrite and type in money management or budgeting, or they'll have different places that's doing it where the events are free that you can go to. Now, they may be about 3 or 4 years, but I mean 3 or 4 hours, but it's worth it, and they give you enough information where once you leave there, you can still conduct research, and you have a lot of some research and information that you already have to know how to do that, to start your business, to do certain things. I always tell people, do your research. I feel like if you want to research some new gym shoes that you want, or this new game or outfit or something, and you spend that much time researching things and finding a TV show to DVR, you could research the other things that you want to do. And sometimes you can volunteer at businesses as well. Like, say you find your own favorite business that you want, Procter & Gamble or something downtown, and you could, people love volunteers. Businesses love volunteers because they don't get paid.
Right.
So they can utilize your experience, and you can learn from them. You're not getting paid, but you can get as much time as you want and as little time as you want and still learn. For free.
Right.
Just by volunteering.
Yeah. And I think with the experience, it helps lead to financial gain if you can, you know, like get a job with that place that you volunteered at, you know, or if you was looking to open your own business and they have those type of experiences that pertain to that type of business, that helps you make money. Mm-hmm. And I wanted to talk about the importance of money, making money and money management, you know, like some of the pros and cons of having money management and things of that nature.
Okay. Money management is very important. It's not whether you have children or not. If you're a man, you want to get married to a woman, or a woman get married to a man. A lot of people do not want to get married to somebody that's bad with their finances. And
right.
And I always tell people, when you're with somebody, I know you love them, but you should always discuss your credit score. They got places called Free Credit Karma, Credit Karma. They got Free Credit Report. They got Credit Assessment.
Mm-hmm.
These are all free websites. Mint, there are free websites to manage your credit, where you could build your credit up. Now, you want to get with somebody
right.
that's good with managing money, because there's going to be a time that you may need or want something, and you want to be able to budget or manage the money that you have. You don't. I always
right.
think you should have more than one source of income. But if you only can have one income, you want to manage your money. You don't want to overspend because you want to look good or because you want certain things and you can't pay it off.
Mm-hmm.
I feel that the pros to money management is that you're not cheap. You're frugal. You're more money savvy about what you're spending your money on. And not because, oh, I don't want this because I might need the money for this. No, you're thinking about the wealth, the investment in whatever you're buying. Instead
right.
of just, oh, I want this, you're wanting. Now, the cons of it, I'm going to see is you're not going to spend all your money. Sometimes you're going to want to go on a trip. Sometimes you're going to want to do this. That's a con, because you're going to have the money
right.
there, but you're not going to want to spend it. You're going to see the new shoes that you got. And there is nothing wrong with treating yourself. There's nothing wrong with treating yourself.
Right.
Every time you get paid, you should put money in savings. You should pay your bills, and you should do something for yourself as well.
Mm-hmm.
You should always, I don't care
yeah.
if even like men, get a pedicure or anything. You should always do something for yourself to reward yourself, because you work hard for whatever money that you have. So my only kind of thing is that you can't spend your money. You can't spend your money.
And I think that's not a bad kind. That's actually pretty good. I think for myself, I don't personally do the last part enough. And maybe that's for, I feel like, man, I hate that I can't, you know, go and do this and do that, you know. And I think I see what you're saying. You know, you don't have to go out and get something extravagant. You can have it set up to where you can get something small for yourself, as long as you're getting it for yourself every time you get a little bit of money, and then you can put the rest up. You know what I'm saying? You don't have to make it so big. You know what I'm saying? You don't have to go get the J's for yourself or something like that, but maybe you can, you know, go and take yourself out for a meal, or, you know, go check out a movie or something like that, something that won't
exactly.
break your pockets, but you're still spending on yourself.
Yes,
I don't think we do that enough. I don't think myself
exactly.
personally, I don't think I've done that enough myself either.
Yeah, and you're right. There's a lot of ways where you can still spend money, but you can manage it. You don't have to buy things fresh off the rack. You don't have to be an innovator with everything. Some things you can be, and some things you can work to get the glitches out. And instead of getting Series 1.0, you can get Series 1.2. There's nothing wrong with that. You don't have to get things that's fresh out the box because they just market it. No, you can wait a little bit. There's nothing wrong with that. There's nothing wrong with that at all. But if you can't reward yourself with certain things, that's just how I feel. They have $5 Tuesday. I love going to the movies. So it's something that I really want to see. I'll spend the money to go see it when it opens on Friday. But I still try to get there before 6 o'clock so I can pay the matinee price. But if I can't, I'll try to wait till Tuesday, because if anybody knows, at Marcus Theaters, movies are $5 all day long, no matter when it came out. So if it came out the Friday before, it's still $5. Unless you do it 3D, it goes $6 a person.
Mm-hmm.
So I feel like I could take my whole family on $20 and you get free popcorn. You should sign up. So I feel like, hey, I'm still spending the same amount, and I'm still getting the same effect of watching the movie. It's just that the actors and the people that are in the movie aren't getting as much credit because you are going to see in the opening weekend. But guess what? They already have money.
Yeah, they'd be
all right. You want to make good investments. I feel like with money management, you want to make sure you're putting your money into the right investment. Like, people love stocks.
Mm-hmm.
You need to research how to manage stocks. You need to research which stocks you should be putting in and when to sell them. You have to, don't just do what everybody else is doing. Like, now people probably got Walmart and Facebook stock. You don't want to just get in because other people are doing it. You want to invest in something that people may think don't look good, and then 6 months down the line, it's skyrocketing.
Right.
You want to be able to pick that out. So that's the thing about money management.
And you got to definitely do your research on that one, cause just because not every stock that's going to happen, but you know there has been stocks out there that have that had that happen. So that's a really good thing. And I also wanted to talk about budgeting before we come to a close, because I know budgeting is very important. I also know that you help people with budgeting, and I'm pretty sure you be budgeting yourself. I wanted to just touch on, you know, why budgeting is, what is budgeting and why it's important.
Okay. Well, how do you first start a budget? Is you get all your bills together, and you put down what bills you want to pay off first. But the first thing you want to do is always pay off the bills with the highest interest. Unless you're getting something that's interest-free for a certain amount of time, you want to pay them off before the interest hits. But if you have a bill that's $500 and the interest is 27%, and then you got another bill that's $1,000, but the interest is only 3%, sometimes it's better to pay off the one that's smaller because the interest fees are higher. So that's how you start the budget. You want to line up what bills you want to pay off. And also with your budget, you want to include, you want to see how much you get made, write out your expenses, so that you can see how much at the end you have in order to pay. If you get paid weekly, biweekly, every other week, or twice a month, once a month. You have people that, believe it or not, they get paid once a month. So that's how you would start your budget. It's a little bit more to it where I could more so show. The difficulties of having a budget is that people don't want to sit down and actually put it together. That's the problem.
Mm-hmm.
They want to say they're good, but they don't want to take the time to write everything down, which, to be honest, doesn't take that long because you know what you have to pay. You know what you get paid. And you don't want to include overtime because you don't want yourself, if you're going to do overtime, you want to be working for a purpose. If you're going to do overtime, make overtime the extra money for your trip or something like that. You don't want to ever include overtime into your regular pay because you're going to forever be doing overtime because you're not going to be used to your regular 40 hours. So that means you're going to always do overtime. You don't want that. That if you're going to do overtime, do it for a purpose. Like, oh, I want to get myself these shoes, so I'm going to do an overtime day or something so I can get these shoes so it's not messing with the rest of my money. That's fine. So the way you stick to a budget is writing the budget out. Whether you write it out, whether you're typing it up, make sure you have it with you at all times in your wallet or whatever. So when you get ready to take your butt to Starbucks and you know you only got $10 to spend for the week, Starbucks is already taking $5. So you're going to make a decision of whether or not do I want to spend this on Starbucks. So that's a difficult thing to stick into a budget. But it does help you in the end if you actually stick with the budget. You may not, once again, may not be able to go out and spend a lot of money and go drinking with your friends. But, hey, how about drinking at home? Get you some wine at home and you can spend less money.
Well, I definitely think I have to myself a budget, and I think what I'm gonna do is give me like a little notebook, notepad, where I will be able to actually see it visually, because it might be better for me. Of course, I know seeing the numbers definitely helps, but I really wanted to touch on this topic because of its importance for Black community. I don't think we talk about it enough. I don't think there's enough classes on it. I don't think there's enough information on this type of stuff. And I'm just glad I'm able to talk about it with you because I know you've been in this world and you know how it works and it's always functioning fairly well for you. I never see you really have a problem and I'm always able to come to you for help. So I appreciate you talking about this topic to me, with me today.
Thank you. Thank you for having me.
And no problem, cousin. We're coming to a close fairly soon. We got about 30 seconds left. But I just want to say we have more coming. I'm definitely going to have my cousin back on here. Maybe we can get into some stock talk with her. We also got a couple of shows coming up on the election. Where do we go from here with a couple of my friends? The importance of the Black community starting to come together and things of that nature. And we just got more for y'all. I'm going to try to do my best on this show. Make sure K-Down try to do his best. This is Easy, Most Known Unknown, Easy Oso checking out. And I want to thank you again, cuz, for coming through.
Thank you.
All right, cuz. I'll see you later.
Okay.
All right.